Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it? How many, 3 weeks or something we've had a sabbatical from our podcasting. Good excuse, though. Kids are off school, so.
Yeah, in our defence, if you're a working parent, you know, it's just hard to get anything done in the school holidays.
I don't know how people do it. Normal people with normal jobs navigate school holidays.
We're quite lucky with kids. That our job is generally speaking quite flexible.
Well, you say that, but there is tons of stuff that we always need to do that we just cannot do.
Yeah.
And then you just end up being really frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're at Pirate Club now, which has given us a couple of days breather. My God, we are better human beings when we are away from our kids, aren't we?
It's just intense, isn't it? I think after having had lockdowns, the school holidays, love my kids, but school holidays does feel a little bit like another lockdown. Mm. When you've got like two young children at home just needing entertainment and demanding things all the time.
I'm just such a better human and better dad and better person when I'm seeing my kids far less. So if I see them a couple of hours in the day, I'm just all round better.
I think it's not just being away from your kids. I think it's generally speaking, humans just are nicer when they have time to be alone.
Mm. Yeah, it's so intense, children stuff, because there's always dramas, there's always screams. And if you're a sort of person where your prerogative is just like you want a nice peaceful life, where things are just calm and relaxing.
You kiss goodbye to that.
Yeah, you can kiss goodbye to that. It's just screaming. Like today I was getting the kids ready for school and I just said to Grayson on the way out, can you close the gate? And there's a little part of my brain which was like, this is going to be a drama, telling him to do that. And then there was another part of my brain which is like, shut up, Steph. It's not going to be a drama. Stop making out that everything's going to be a drama. It's not. It's going to be fine. And then 10 seconds later, there was a drama about closing the gate. Rufus ran out second and Grayson was like, he was out second, he should close it. And I was like, I just asked you to close it. And then he screamed and I was like, oh my God, the little voice was right. And then I get angry at myself because I feel like, I don't want to listen. I don't want that to give that voice a platform.
I think it's hard because when you're a parent, you do have to say no a lot and you do have to be the person that nags or asks for things or tells off and stuff. And I think when you're doing that, sometimes you can find yourself doing that a lot, like more than other times. It does kind of bring you into this space where you sort of expect to be doing it, and it kind of brings you down a little bit sometimes.
Yeah,
it's just hard. It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Condolences to all the other parents out there who are navigating children at home. But we
watched a great horror movie the other night, didn't we? What was it called? It's called
A Classic Horror Story.
Yes,
Netflix.
Yes, very quite disturbing.
I liked it. I thought it was really clever.
It was really good, really well done. Best horror movie I've seen in a while, I think,
about
if you like horrors.
2/3 of the way in, the big twist happened and you were like, oh, the twist almost made perfect sense and then everything was great from there on, wasn't it? It was it kind of took a completely new direction.
Yeah, I quite liked that though, because quite often with horror, especially in that genre, you kind of expect certain things to happen and certain things become obvious at a point in the storyline. But what this film did really well, I think, is they let you get comfortable with that and then they gave you the twist.
Mm. So talking about intense, we had a camping trip, which was intense. Oh God, not even just a grimace. We went camping. We went to Cloud Nine Festival, which was really good fun. However, There's been a lot of bad press. They've got a lot of bad press. About it being a bit of a disaster. I think they were quite understaffed, and it was sold as kind of a glamping VIP experience, and I think there was a few things missing that made it not so feel like it was some sort of VIP experience. We had a great time, didn't we? I mean, it was really good fun. It was really good, but there were things that I was annoyed about. But then, you know,
I think that's just the way when you camp or glamp, though. Mm. Like, it's never going to be this perfect experience. I mean, a couple of things that I think they probably should have realized, like they needed an extra sink for people to wash in and stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's all teething problems with something that's so new like that. You kind of have to give them a little bit of leeway and be like, well, it's a new festival. It's not going to be perfect straight away. God, think of how organized you have to be to pull off something like that.
Yeah.
I know I wouldn't want to do it.
But we ended up having a really good time. We stayed longer than we were expecting to stay, didn't we? We stayed for an extra night and we were going to go home after two nights. But then we thought, you know what, stay for another night. I think it's just what you make of it. Like, it was, you have a choice with in these situations to be like, well, I could get all upset and turn into a bit of a diva. This is the problem I have. Remember that time when we went away, and I won't say who it was with, but we went away on a cruise ship and we met another influencer there. And I remember how utterly obnoxious this influencer was. And I couldn't almost believe it. I was so embarrassed when I was around him when we were talking to people on the boat and he was demanding things and saying, you know, sort of, do you know who I am? And we expect this and this and this. And I was just dying inside as he was saying these things. And I was just...
But also reaping all the benefits.
But also, I cannot tell you how many benefits we got out of it. I got much better footage out of that. Mm. I got much better shots. I got a much better experience just by being in his shadow, just by sort of him being the obnoxious one. And then it made me realize then, oh, I get it now. The bigger dickhead you are in life, the more obnoxious and awful you are, the better your life is. The more shit you're gonna get, the more stuff and more great experiences you'll get. If you're just sort of barging your way to the front and being like, no, I deserve to be at the front, everyone's just like, oh, maybe he does, okay, let him through.
Or people just think you're a massive rude dickhead.
But it depends if you care about that. I think a lot of people don't care, do they? A lot of people are like, well, I don't give a toss what people think about me. And I'm always amazed by people who have that prerogative, that they don't care what people think about them. Mm. Somebody says something.
I think you're right, though. I think that the experience is what you make it, and it's almost kind of, rather than thinking, oh, this is wrong about it, or this wasn't good enough, or whatever, you really have to just flip it and be like, but we're all spending time together in an event. We've all just spent a really long time locked away at home, not being able to do anything. So how cool is it that we're actually in a field with a bunch of people and everyone's like here to have a good time, and kind of flipping it on its head rather than finding all the negative things that are there if you look for them.
But
the positive things are also there if you look for them, and it's where you choose to like send your focus.
Yeah, that's so true. It's how we reframed it. I think there was a pivotal moment of the trip where we were like, we need to reframe this.
Yeah.
We need to reframe this. And then as soon as we did that, it was really enjoyable. But in a tent with two kids is an experience, isn't it? It's something
and
you can't.
Dogs.
And two dogs. Yeah. Those little mutts. The first thing they did as soon as they got into the tent was piss on the floor. I was like, oh my God, we just walked through fields and fields to get here. And the minute we get into the tent, there you are squatting down, pissing on the floor. We didn't even see where it pissed until Hannah sat down on the wee.
Oh yeah, that annoyed me when I first got there. That wasn't fun. I was wearing cream shorts. I never wear cream shorts. And I sat down to put my wellies on the floor and I was like, oh, something's wet. Thought it was probably just like some water that someone had spilt or something. And then I realised what it was. And I was like, oh great, there's dog wee on my cream shorts.
Oh, I know, man.
This is a great start to the weekend.
I can't even look at them right now. If he's noticed, I'm not even stroking them because they just keep weeing on the floor all the time. Even though we leave the door open for them to go outside and wee, they're just like, nah, I'm just going to piss on the floor. Or if you put a bag down, they'll wee on your bag.
Oh yeah, George is our older dog. He's two. He's going through this phase where he's marking everything. I'm not really sure why.
Even
we should probably just research it. He tried to.
A couple of times he's cocked his leg. I'm trying to wee
he
on
tried
you,
to,
hasn't he?
But I knew he was going to do it, so I moved.
God, he's so annoying. I can't believe we paid money for this little shit. I know you love him to pieces, but God, I can't stand him.
I do. He's like my baby.
Yeah. I like him a lot when he doesn't defecate and wee. It's bizarre because most mornings you and I wake up to vomit, blood, urine and feces. don't we? That's the first thing we deal with every morning. Because Pippi, the little dog, she's having her period. So
well, they say never work with kids and animals. And let's change the subject here. you've just finished reading my book recommendation from a while ago, haven't you? The Goldfinch.
The Goldfinch. And it was so good. I've got... It
took you so long to read it.
Yeah, I know. But I was only doing bit by bit.
Yeah. I don't know how you could do that, though. When I read that book, all I wanted to do was read that book.
I highlighted quite a few bits actually of the book, which I thought were very good, because I was just like, oh, that's nice. I don't know how to get to my
beautifully written, isn't it?
This is the nice bit. I've just found literally one. I've just stumbled across now. Here's a from the very end of the book. It's just a chapter I highlighted because I liked. And as much as I'd like to believe there is a truth beyond illusion, I've come to believe that there's no truth beyond illusion, because between reality on the one hand and the point where the mind strikes reality, there's a middle zone, a rainbow edge where beauty comes into being, where two very different surfaces mingle and blur to provide what life does not. And this is the space where all art and all magic exists. Isn't that nice?
I felt like that was one of those books for me personally where you really had to concentrate on every single sentence. It's not one of those like holiday reads that you can kind of skim and still understand what's going on and who the characters are and stuff. You really needed to actually like be present in the story, which is the kind of book I really like, that actually you feel like you're in that person's head and you're in that person's world completely. It's almost like you go out of your body and you're not sitting in your bed reading, like you're just in the story.
It was a great book. I highly recommend it.
It's a good book.
And now I'm reading Death, Love, and Robots, which is very good.
I've just finished a book, which I would actually recommend, although... So it's Lisa Tadeo's new book, Animal. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to read this when I read what it was about. And I got a sample, and then I was like, okay, I'll just carry on, because the sample obviously drew me in. Much darker than I thought it was going to be, because her first novel, Three Women... Obviously, I think so many people have read this and know it's a very popular book. It's completely different to that. I would say that this is better. And Three Women, I absolutely loved that book. But this is better. But you do need to be, I would say, in a good mental headspace or a good frame of mind to read it, because a lot of it is really heavy going and quite dark. Probably one of the darkest books I've read, I would say. So if you want something lighthearted, then this isn't for you. But if you want something that has that like darkness and that depth of a character in it, then definitely go and read it.
How is your yoga journey going?
It's going good. I'm making a little course right now, like a at home yoga retreat, so like a little affordable day retreat.
So it's a one day.
Yeah, so you buy a package of videos, so you get 4 yoga videos, 2 meditation, and then recipe ideas, journal, PDFs, and you take yourself on a little day retreat at home in your own time.
Great.
So I'm making that right now.
Are there any rules that...
No, there's no rules.
No? It's just you follow a schedule?
You do it at home. There's a suggested timetable if you want to, but a lot of people have children or jobs or maybe they can't carve out a whole day alone to do that, or they maybe don't want to spend hundreds of pounds on a yoga retreat, or can't spend hundreds of pounds on a yoga retreat, or don't know if it's worth the money. So I just thought it'd be a nice way for people to try out that sort of experience, but from the comfort of your own home. So that's why.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm working on. Enjoying it.
How far are you through it now?
Well, I'm off to go and film some of it.
You were going to film something today, weren't you?
But in a minute.
Neighbours drilling and kids screaming.
It's the day the kids are at the holiday club. So I was like, great, I can get three videos filmed today. And our neighbours' children are outside playing in the garden loudly. And next door but one are drilling. Every five minutes.
It's always the way.
So I'm like, got to rethink my timeline now.
I haven't had a second to put up a video in a long time. I don't even know when I'm going to have time to put one up. I just don't think I'm going to be able to do it. It's going to be some time before I upload something, I reckon. I think it's just going to be a case now of not doing it as much. I think it's just going to be, I know we always, you know, we always have these dramatic headlines of like, oh, we're leaving or whatever. It's just because they tend to work. But I just don't think we can. I just don't think it's feasible to do it anymore.
Well, I think it's all ebbs and flows, careers and
you know what makes it hard as well is as the kids get older, it becomes far more tricky to film them because it's all about informed consent and how you do it and why you do it. And it's so nuanced as to like why you're choosing to leave bits in and why you're not and how much they're in it and how much they aren't. And is this going to be, does this dignify them in the future? Are they going to be happy? There's so many things, facets to it that you have to consider and think about that it's exhausting because you're like, yeah, the more you don't film them, the more you have to direct the camera onto yourself. And the more people are thinking, oh, you're making it about yourself. And then you're like, I'm not. I'm just, there's many reasons why I have to do this.
Yeah.
So that's very tricky.
I feel like the family vlogger space is quite a different landscape to when we first started. Because I started doing pregnancy videos about 9 years ago now, which is crazy when you think that we've been doing it for that long. But it was quite a different landscape back then, far less saturated. I feel like a lot of people were doing it for different reasons than they might be doing it for now, probably ourselves included, to some like respect, to some aspect. But it has changed a lot. But I think over 9 years, you can't expect to still be in that type of creative career. You can't expect to still be where you were 9 years ago. You're going to have grown creatively and personally.
But I think obviously you could have grown away from an algorithm. I think algorithms have been constantly updated over the years. So algorithmically things change and then you might not align with some algorithmic change and that means that your channel's punished and so you have to work harder and try harder to kind of get noticed
than
you did. So you have to take more risks and then you have to, I don't know,
it's a really difficult thing I find, particularly with Instagram. I find morally sometimes I don't know how to behave on Instagram because although I've been told like a couple of tricks and things that will get you more followers or whatever, it just doesn't sit right with me. And I'm like, I don't want to trick people into following me because that's what it feels like to me. Fair enough, maybe I'm being over dramatic and obviously lots of people do it for a job and it's just tricks of the trade or whatever. But for me personally, I find that doesn't sit right.
Yeah.
And like I don't want to do those things. I don't want to have to do 7 hashtags or 1 reel a week or whatever in order for people to follow me. I'm like, that's not really...
Give the algorithm what it wants so you get noticed. So.
Yeah, and it just doesn't really creatively like feed you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You're doing it. You're not creating content that you want to create. You're creating content that an algorithm wants in order to get more eyeballs. And I think maybe as I've grown older as well, like I feel like you and I are quite similar in that we've never, as social media content creators, it's never really been weirdly for us about gaining like lots and lots of followers. But even as I've grown older, it's even less about that. And I'm like, I actually don't really mind people unfollowing me. And I'm like, if it's not the type of content that you want to see, then that's good that you're unfollowing, because you're then creating a feed that you that is right for you and that you want to see, and you're not having somebody pop up that makes you feel bad or annoys you or
That's a good way to look at it. I think my struggle with it, my main struggle with it has been just the pantomime of everything. I find really difficult to subscribe to. I when I see people sitting down in front of a camera, I just see like a facade, like an act, like almost like this. Everything's being said in order to reinforce a projection of what they want people to think they're like and what they want people to think they're morally aligned to. And I just feel like this is all just such a pantomime. It just seems all so fake.
I think we're just getting old.
And the older I get, though, the more I see that, the more apparent that is to me. And the more I'm like, even when people kind of do these kind of commentary videos and they're tearing people apart, I'm like, I've recently been...
You love those.
Well, this is the fine thing. I love the moral quandary that it puts me into. I've recently discovered this whole fallout that's happened with the Sacconis, and I've been following that, because we obviously were signed with them for some time. I don't think they're signed with our management agency anymore, but for a long time they were signed with the same agency as us. We've never really, they're not kind of associates of ours, but we've always been aware of each other. And I've just seen this whole fallout with Jonathan Saccone and their kid, Eduardo, and everything that's happened from that. And it's almost like zooming out of it and watching it all happen is quite fascinating, because it's all everyone's accusing him of exploiting his kids for exploiting his kids, basically, and his kids' transition, or his kids' I don't know what the word would be, like his younger boy likes to wear dresses and have long hair, which is cool and everything, but people are accusing him of exploiting that for monetary gain. And then I see people exploiting almost exploiting that situation for monetary gain. So I'm like, people make these videos saying, oh, well, look what he's doing, he's exploiting his kids. Like, well, aren't you doing the same thing in a way, in a roundabout way? Like, and I said to you today, this morning, I was like, people say they care so much about this kid and his future and what he's going to be like when he grows up, but like, there's kids out there that are just, you know, on rubbish dumps in bare feet, that can't, you know, that don't have any money, they're just, you know, digging through rubbish dumps in places in India for like bits of metal to try and sell to get enough money. I'm just like, if you care that much about kids, there are kids out there that a lot more need your care than this kid does, you know. And I just feel, and then I just think this is all playing into this ideological like mosh pit where people are just trying to get their ideas heard and try and reinforce their own kind of validation and their own moral standing by using other people and saying like, well, this is why I condemn this person. This is why they're awful.
It's that, but then it's also the financial gain of creating a hit piece video like that that's going to get a lot of traction, make a lot of money on AdSense. I feel like that's one side of humanity. I feel like that's one side of humanity that it's such a shame that we have to all have this obsession with money. Because it really brings out the worst side in a lot of people.
Oh my God, it does.
When all they are focused on is how they can financially benefit or what they can get.
That's so true.
If you stripped away that from every human, imagine how different the landscape would look right now. If you stripped away every like big company's need to make X amount of cash this year, what would the world look like? Even just on a physical level,
I don't think it'd be very good. I think it would be disastrous. I genuinely do. Like, I think it would be disastrous. I think the world has never been as good as it is right now. You know, it's never been this great. I mean, even a king a couple of hundred years ago probably wouldn't live as good as a poor person in the UK these days. If you think about what that king had compared to what we have in terms of the different variations of food that we can get and the different kind of, sheets that we have on our bed.
Yeah, but there's also an argument to say that perhaps we shouldn't have all of this available to us, because look where it's got us.
Oh, no, of course not. We're just inherently greedy, and it's just
the whole... Yeah, exactly. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is that if humans weren't so... in it for what they could get.
Yeah, they're just too greedy.
It would just be a nicer place. The whole world would be a nicer place, but
how we're wired up to be selfish, and how we're kind of genetically made up. I can't imagine another way that could supersede this way. If there was another way, then it would have been, I would have thought there'd be trials and they'd be trying it and proving that other ways can work. I'm always very open-minded. The important thing, I think, with everything is to kind of just to zoom out and be like, well, let's not marry our ideas.
Yeah, and also just to acknowledge the fact that you have an opinion, and it's the right opinion to you, but it may not be the right opinion to somebody else, and that's fine. Yeah. We don't all have to agree on everything all the time.
But it's so funny because sometimes I'll be angry about something, or I see something that angers me, and then I'll force myself.
I've seen something that angers me right now. You've got a hairy toe and I'm angry about that.
But then I have to force myself to address that anger and be like, why are you angry about that? What's making you angry? And is that anger rational? Think about it. And then the more I think about it, the more I'm like, it's not a rational anger. Because in my mind, there's no objective truths. Like, we're just making this up as we go, and we're agreeing that certain things are right and wrong. And that makes it very difficult to ever really form an idea and an opinion. Because I'm like, my opinion is no more or less valid than somebody with an opposite opinion. I don't understand why my opinion is more valid than theirs, or theirs is more valid than mine. So it's very difficult, because sometimes you want to be on a side and be like, yeah, this is what I believe in. I'm on this side. But then the more married to that idea that you have, the more you need to question it and argue yourself out of it. And before you know it, you're back in the middle again, being like, oh, I can't.
You're a fence sitter.
I'm a wavering everywhere. I'm trying, people get angry and they got this anger train for something that's happened. And the first thing that I want to do is look at the opposite, try and fight for the opposite side of it and be like, okay, well, how is this, where's the flaws here? And how can we untangle this so we're not so married to it? It's exhausting.
I think it's just a landscape that we have come to live in over the last couple of years, though. It's kind of COVID and everything has just escalated everybody's anger, division in society over different things.
You're right.
And it's just kind of made that whole, almost the online landscape, the news landscape, everything outside of your own bubble seems to be like on fire and angry.
Yeah.
Which is why I like to stay in my bubble.
But I think what you can't do is everyone goes out with pitchforks after something like Brexit happens, and then that gets all, that ends. But then people are still angry and they still got their pitchforks in their hand. They're still like, well, what next?
I just feel like everybody needs to, when they get angry and they go to type some mean comment or get all riled up about something they don't know about on the internet, everyone just needs to go to the fucking gym or go for a run, get all your anger out, take all your anger out on exercise for half an hour, and then see how you feel, and then go to write your comment, because it works.
Yeah, you're right. I think, anyone goes for a run before they write a shitty comment will definitely not go finish that run and come back.
Yeah, you get home and be like, oh, I don't really mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap this up. I need to go do some filming.
Okay. Thanks very much for listening, everyone. Sorry it's been so long since we've done a podcast. We will try.
I hope you're
all
doing okay, and we will see you for another podcast next week.
We're out of here. Bye, guys.
Bye. Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.